Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000ths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, that's part of our morning rotation. No excuses, no victimhood. Today's podcast is titled God, Gates, Zuckerberg, One Kid, and You. Once again, the title for today's podcast is God, Gates, Zuckerberg, One Kid, and You. The live stream number for it to my house is 619-768-2945 or 319-527-4961. More detail, for those of you who I got to spell it out to, God, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, One Kid, and You. What do, and this is the 6th day of January 2020. What do those, how can I link all those together, including you, or most of you, particularly the ones who have made New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals or whatever you might want to call them? And by the way, while it's on the top of my head, we got a trending topic. We shall see what you guys think about it. It's on Yahoo News. The headline, Kaepernick is a loser on and off the court. I'm reading, as it says, the former NFL quarterback called the assassination of an Iranian commander part of a pattern of American terrorist attacks against black and brown people. Is he a loser on and off the field? That's our trending topic for today. But anyway, so getting back to God, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, One Kid, and You. What do God, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, explain who the One Kid is, and you, only I'm talking to the yous that if you got a New Year's resolution or a goal or whatever you might call it for 2020, decade goal, whatever, those are the people I'm talking to. Now, the One Kid is story in the New Testament, whether you believe in what happened or not, but it is for the sake of talk, was the kid that had the 2 fish and 5 loaves that eventually fed 5,000 plus people. So what do all of these people have in common, including you who have made goals for this year or New Year's resolutions, whatever you want to call them? What's the tie-in here? Well, let me start off with God, the Creator, whatever you got, Allah, whatever name you have for him. He started off making one day. The world as we know it today was built. It didn't happen instantaneously, and that's from all supreme creative force. It started with one day. Not even mankind was around on day one. So he started off with one day. We're not even close to Adam yet, let alone Eve. But he started off with one day. Next person or entity, Bill Gates. Bill Gates, he didn't even come up with the, the Windows operating system. He bought that from somebody else, but he had one partner. One partner to start off with. Mark Zuckerberg was hired by the Winklevoss brothers. We'll count them as one. But then after, he got a little team together, the founders of Facebook. Essentially, he started with... Oh, wait a minute. What's going on here? What the hell? Oh, wait a minute. Something's going on here. Okay, that's gone. All right. They started, up in the college, the Boston's got a lot of colleges up there. So they started with like one little institution for social networking for Facebook. Man, what? Wait a minute. Oh, I see what this is. I clicked the wrong thing on Facebook. So he started with, that's how Facebook spread among the university or college community, by one little institution at a time. As a website. Still a website, just if over a billion people, or almost 2 billion people know about it, use it now. So Mark Zuckerberg started with one also. The one kid that's mentioned in the parable, which is the only prosperity I don't know if it's a parable, but mentioned in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000. The one kid, he had two fish and five loaves of bread, but that one person, it was just that one person. They were looking to feed people, and they found one person who had something to eat. Now, that passage is very symbolic and has a lot of allegory to it, but it starts off with one. Now, let's tie that in. As a matter of fact, let's go back to the God thing. He started off with a day. Then, eventually, he didn't start off with a week, but he started off with a day. And then built another day. And then he built another day till he got to 7 days. And then, within that, he created Adam, which means mankind. All right. But let's just get literal here. Adam, which really means mankind, he started with one, Adam. Now, there are nearly 8 billion Adams on the planet as far as people go. But it all started with one. 8 billion people were not on the planet. How many tens of millions of years ago? Started with one. All right. Bill Gates started with one. Mark Zuckerberg started with one. So when it comes to your New Year's resolutions or goals, keep it simple. Get it down to one. Because you know what? If you do one simple thing successfully and just repeat it, you'll do well. Let's say you can do something that's going to get you $100 in a day. All right. I'll leave it up to you, whatever that might be. And let's say As a matter of fact, let's say you're broke right now. And by the end of this day, or maybe 12 noon, whatever it might be, without borrowing money, you're able to earn $100. Could be from you might go out and cut 10 lawns today. 10 lawns at $10 each, you get your $100. You've earned it. Don't owe anybody. Maybe you're good at cutting hair. You go cut 10 heads today, $10 a head, earn $100 a day. You might be good at moving, helping people move. You go out here and you get out here for the next 7, 8 hours, or even 10 hours, you earn $100 helping people move. Whatever it might be, $100. You've earned it, you haven't borrowed it. Okay. Repeat that. Let's say 100 times in a month, and you've got yourself $10,000. But it all starts with one. So a lot of us can solve, epic, or what appears to be epic goals, or solve financial problems that they might appear. Just start up with something simple and just keep on repeating it. Do it over and over, and then the next day, do it again. Find something simple that you're good at already. I believe everybody qualifies for that. And just get prolific at doing it. Now, with that said, going back to God, Gates, Zuckerberg, and the one kid, you're not going to pull this off alone. It'll be easier if you collaborate with other people. God, the creative force, Allah, whatever, never built a house, never built a chair, never built a car. God works through people. Bill Gates has a whole bunch of partners. He didn't become a multi-billionaire. He had to help other people. He helped other people get rich along the way. Being a billionaire is a team sport. Mark Zuckerberg, same thing. We supply Zuckerberg with free content by the second. It's a team sport. The kid would want, he had the 12 disciples and other people. It's a team sport. So find something that you're good at. And like I say, everybody listening is good at something that's simple and that can generate them $10 to $100. And then put a team together. Now, once again, everything starts with one. God started off by himself making a day. Okay. He had to wait. The population clock, wait a minute. He's gone from one to, let me see. The population clock of the United States is over 330 million. 247,743 right now. The world population is 7,622,170,230, make it 250 people. But it all started with God, Allah, what do you want to call him, with making one day. Then working his way up to the man part, and we're talking about millions of years in the making. All right, so copy off of those people. Model them. Just find something simple today. Find something simple today that you're decent at. You don't have to be a master at it. Okay, hopefully it's in line with your goals or whatever you got, and just figure out ways on how to become prolific at it. And basically, you're going to have to organize a team if you want to, you know, depend on, like, I heard somebody a few days ago, their goal is to earn $10 million this year. More than likely, they're going to have to put together a team. There's another lady that we're going to have here on It's My House this year. She does, her and her team, she earns about $50,000 to $60,000 a month. And she has a little team that helps her do that. And they make about 2,000 calls per day. She's got a team of about five people, six including her, that organize themselves to make 2,000 calls per day. But she nets, probably nets about 42,000 out of that 50,000 to 60,000, something like that. Okay, we're going to go to the phone lines here. If anybody wants to chime in on taking something simple and just becoming prolific at it. For me, I've got to help really just one person a day get into housing. On a perfect day, I'll help two. But the key is I've got to be consistent at it Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday. That's one person a day. Okay. That's my goal for this year. All right. I can't do one person a month. But two people every 2 weeks has got to be consistently one person a day, and we'll go through the steps on how you can do the same thing too. All right, we're going to play Nine Friends real quick because you're going to need to collab with some people for this, and then we'll go into the trending topic of Colin Kaepernick, who I think if he didn't finish himself off, he's done now.
Say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars these is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pull up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house.
yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm gonna get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Thank you.
this is the 6th day of January 2020. Just a reminder now, because, you know, it was easy to make those goals a few days ago, resolutions a few days ago, and then slack up, because this month goes by quick. It's got 31 days, but it goes by quick. So it's the 6th day. Don't slack up. It's Monday morning. Let's just keep on top of that. Let's go to our phone lines here. And good morning, Robin.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Great. So how was your, I guess, first weekend of the month?
Busy. I'm knee-deep in creation. I'm busy.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah,
making great progress working on I Am Streaming and creating streaming stations, and also the entertainment directory is coming along quite nicely. You can now watch full featured movies right in the entertainment directory.
On iamstreaming.org?
That's right. Yep, beginning today or tomorrow, you'll be able to watch TV shows, talk shows, soap operas, game shows. Yeah, we're just going to have a various assorted programming that you can enjoy right there in the entertainment directory and at iamstreaming.org. All in celebration and in display and demonstration of the streaming stations that are being created.
Man, that's impressive. Okay, well, and innovative.
Yeah.
So,
thank you.
I'll be, because I do quite a bit. I'll switch some of my viewing habits from YouTube or whatever over to I Am Streaming.
Yeah, so what I'm doing is, watch this, is I'm adding it with content that we all love to watch and enjoy, as well as the content that we also generate and produce of our own. Think of it as a social media for performing arts, if you will. Uh-huh.
You know, I was telling
and the whole
my,
thing goes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I was telling a friend of mine over the weekend, I think he's a music educator, a guitar teacher. I was telling him, matter of fact, he needs a streaming station, because now, instead of getting a record played on, let's say, traditional AM or FM radio, now, you know, set up your own thing, let's say a streaming station, with all of your content on it. I mean, playing 24/7.
Correct. Correct. And then also the main goal or the main reason for the streaming station is that it puts the artist or performer, business, brand in the position to monetize. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a filmmaker and you have a movie. You're dependent upon an executive producer or director to take your content to a label or a studio for them to air it and bring it to the world, right? So they're going to go, okay, yeah, sure, we'll run your content. You're going to have to pay us, follow this, or we'll pay you a certain amount of money, but you can't run this anywhere else for, I don't know, 5 years. Okay, and we're going to run ads on your content, and we're going to not give you any of the money that we generate from your content. Okay, so having a streaming station of your own puts you in the position that you and your business brand content will be directly in mainstream media, without a record label, studio, or union, anything like that, through the Roku Play Store. Sorry for the background noise. For the Roku Play Store and Amazon Fire Stick. And then we will support you in driving traffic and generating traffic, because we'll put all that in the entertainment directory. Mm-hmm. And then
I'm on the site right now. It's pretty impressive. This is the second time
Thank you.
Looks
now that's imstreaming.org, and then it also has its sister site, or its feeder site, if you will, which is a big component of it, the entertainment directory. The entertainment directory will house all of the members and all the content and all the streaming stations as well. Imstreaming.org is simply the stations that already have the existing stations, created stations. They have actual stations already on Roku. Yes.
Okay, got it.
Which is a distinction. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll send you a link so that you can check out the entertainment directory.
Okay,
yeah.
Appreciate it. Well, now, while we still got you on the line, as a trending topic here on, what do you call it? Wait a minute. Oh, man. You know, that's the thing. All right. Your take on Colin Kaepernick. Let me put it this way. Not so much what he's.
You got to refresh me. You got to refresh
okay.
me. I just
Colin
saw his name blurt across the thing, and I wasn't.
The United States government recently, through a drone attack, killed the high-ranking military official, Iranian official in Iraq. All right. On January the 3rd, 3 days ago. So Colin Kaepernick he stated, let me find it. I don't want to mess up what he said now. All right, hold it, Kaepernick. Okay, Colin Kaepernick basically. All right, let me read some of the headlines. Senator Lindsey Graham rips racist Colin Kaepernick for criticizing the Soleimani terrorist hit. Colin Kaepernick attacks U.S. imperialism in wake of Soleimani attack. Megyn Kelly slams Colin Kaepernick, Iran tweet. I will not be ashamed over calling out bullshit. So Colin Kaepernick, he basically, I'm trying to get his exact words here. But long story short, I didn't think he had a snowball's chance of hell going back into the NFL after what happened a couple of months ago, on a trial, the trial debacle. But now that he has criticized the United States government over this recent attack that happened 3 days ago, I think he's basically toast. My opinion, had Colin Kaepernick just kept his mouth shut, showed up at the trial, in November or whenever it was, kept his mouth shut, showed up at the trial, he would be playing in the NFL as we speak right this moment. But as Snoop Dogg said last year, Colin Kaepernick, and this was last year when Snoop Dogg said this, Colin Kaepernick needs to decide whether he wants to play football or be a revolutionary. So it looks like Colin Kaepernick has decided to become a revolutionary, and there's nothing wrong with that, but you can't be both. You can't be both.
Why can't you be both? Why not? Why not?
Well, how
somebody
can
tell me why he can't do and be both? Why not?
All right. When I say both, in other words, how can he be a revolutionary and then still expect to be hired by the National Football League? Well, it hasn't happened.
Right, and so this is this
think
is
ever will happen.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah. Okay, so watch this. People really need to think, and they really need to get this and understand this. Okay, you're gonna let your job, something that you do for a living, a 9-to-5 that you collect, you're gonna let that define what you do with the rest of your life, and really, I mean, you're going to give them that much power? I don't know if you're getting where I'm going with this, but I mean, really. And then again, what I do on my job, 9-to-5, professional sports, politician, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. That what should that have anything to do with my personal convictions on whatever? My religious bearing, my personal values, my personal behavior, any of that. Really? Why? Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't they, so what if they hire? Now you just gotta die. And watch this. Basically you could sum it up that you look at Dennis Rodman. He put on makeup, tattooed himself just in women's clothing and then around in bars, but no, but, okay? And he did some pretty controversial stuff. What?
He didn't make any political statements, nor did he say anything that would cheese off
I beg to differ. I say very much that you flaunting a female attire and all this other stuff while you are playing in the NBA.
I think you're definitely
making a political statement. Definitely.
He did most of that after he retired now. He got married and dressed up as a bride. He did all that basically after he was.
But he was very still flamboyant during his time on the NBA.
He was playing. The most flamboyant thing he did when he was playing the game and employed by the NBA was he one game his hair would be this color, the next game, he did something with his hair.
Mm-hmm.
But the dresses and all that didn't happen until after he retired.
Yeah.
Here's my take on it. All right. You've got I Am Streaming. Okay. So if you've had people, you've had advertisers, and you will have more advertisers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Without naming an advertiser, what kind of product or service, let's say one of your advertisers, would advertise to your network?
What would they receive, you mean?
No. Not what would they receive. Was it a Rib Shack, an entertainer, or what?
Oh my goodness. One, two, three celebrities.
Let's take one of the celebrities. It doesn't matter what the name is. Okay. Now, so let's say you got a celebrity that is paying you money to advertise or market their business through your network. All right. You've got eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got everything. Right. Now, what if there was a person, let's say, for the sake of this conversation, that was a DJ, disc jockey, blogger, or another blogger that was employed by you? Okay, that was employed by you. And
okay,
they would play so-and-so's, that celebrity's record or video or whatever it might be. And then they would badmouth that particular celebrity. What would you do?
Oh, well, it's generally on my network, we don't have any of that bashing and stuff. That's, you know, generally the rule of thumb is if you don't like something, then you go away. Okay.
We don't censor,
but if someone did do like that, they would be muted and not and told that, listen, you know, that's not good or necessary. You don't have to conduct like that.
Okay,
you know, but
so
we would mute them. But I've never had any problems. I've never had to do that to anyone.
I understand. I've been listening to you for 6 years. I understand that. Okay. We're just doing a scenario here. Okay. So let's say they badmouth that paying artist or the firm that represents that artist. They badmouth them, so they got muted, and you're paying these people. Okay. So they got muted, and let's say they got a warning. That's not cool. Don't do it again. Now,
the likelihood of that happening, especially if it's someone that I'm paying or someone on the team, there's going to be non-disclosures and things signed so that that's going to preclude and prevent a lot of that unnecessary behavior, if you will.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying, despite all of that, they do it again. What would you do?
Yeah, again, they would immediately be muted.
They did it a second time, okay, and you got all the disclosure that you didn't talk to them and all that. They did it again, and now the advertiser, the celebrity advertiser or his company, his agency, if you don't handle this particular person, we're pulling out money out of your – and we're going to tell our friends about it.
Yeah, so I don't the way that I have it set up with non-disclosures and all that, I really don't think that that's going to happen. There's going to be non-disclosures, contracts, letters of agreement, you know. And then in the event that that happened, it would just happen one time because I would shut that person down. Okay, that type of energy
isn't that the exact same thing that the NFL's doing? Because the NFL, they got to pay these. I mean, these players get paid more money than God, so they get this money through advertisers, sponsorships, selling.
Right, and again, all that is covered in their non-disclosures and their agreement. So Colin has signed something with the NFL, and his behaviors are violating that. Okay,
you made the point I was trying to make.
Yep.
He violated that, and I'm not saying that he should change his mind. I'm not disagreeing with what he said or what he did. I'm not. What you believe in, okay. I'm all right with that. But in the business workplace, when you are an employee and you're getting that paycheck, because the lifespan of a professional athlete ain't that long. It's anywhere from 2 to 5 years, depending on the sport. Okay.
With any job or any position that anybody gets, there's an employee handout, and there's company policies and regulations and stuff that have to be adhered to and followed, and you have to sign a statement and agree to those, and that's just standard. It doesn't matter whether it's the NFL, whether it's this, that, you know, or the other. And then but it's really interesting, because where do we find our balance in the power that jobs and other outside entities in our life have over our right to freedom of speech? I don't know.
Well, I'm looking at because the football stadium is a workplace, just like it is at IBM, 7-Eleven, the grocery store. It's a workplace.
Right.
So
did he say, or did he make those comments while he was in uniform and playing a game?
Right now, the comments that he recently made, he's not in football. What I'm saying is, if there was any ghost of a chance that he was going to get back in, it's totally obliterated, in my opinion. It's totally obliterated now.
Well, this is one thing I think, is that Colin Kaepernick, he's not a stupid person, okay? And he knows that all eyes are on him, and he knows that pretty much whatever he says, one way or the other, he's going to stir up something. He already knows that. Guess what? It's one thing that, guess what? You and I can be talking on the phone like we do, and we can be expressing ourselves, what we think, blah, blah, blah. But you're taking it to a whole nother level when you're posting it in social media. Now you starting something. You understand? And so Snoop Dogg and all these guys that say that he needs to make a choice, no, he don't need to make a choice. He's already made a choice. And Colin Kaepernick, he doing what he want to do. I think the man running for president.
He's running for something. All right, well, let's take somebody else's comment on this. 3:14, the mic is open. You can talk on the trending topic of Kaepernick or anything, really. It's the first Monday of the month.
Yeah. Kaepernick's a loser.
That's what the headline said.
Yeah. He's a loser. Anybody that's in the position that he was to do something stupid like he done, he's a loser. And I see he stopped giving away his money to projects in Africa and so plus. You better keep on save your money, because you ain't going to have that revenue stream coming in for long. And
yeah,
here's the point.
That's my whole thing is, you know what? Hold your tongue, because like I said, the lifespan of a professional athlete is not that long, particularly in football.
No.
Okay.
My grandson played organized baseball. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Get the money.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Your grandson played.
My grandson played organized baseball for a long time, since he was 5, and he stands for the national anthem. That's what you're supposed to do. And show your support for this great country that we live in. Where else are you going to have this kind of opportunity? But no, this man. And here's the thing. How the heck you gonna make those type of statements? And who is your fan base? Who's paying?
There you go. Your fan base. You're nothing without your fan base. And a lot of your fan base feel the exact way that you just said about standing. Okay. And once you cheese off that fan base, the advertisers or the financial backers,
they're going to leave.
Exactly.
I mean, the whites are the ones that buy these tickets at these NFL games. And you're going to stand there and insult them the way you're doing? Blacks ain't got no money to pay to support no NFL team, let alone a league. You can't have conversations one day talking about how poor black folks are. How, and I'm using the term black folks like Claude Anderson used, and how impoverished they are. And how they have lack of job opportunities. How they have lack of education opportunities. How they have lack of education, period. Which all equates to making money. Well, how in the heck you going to support an NFL team? And here's another thing. Blacks don't like that stuff either, of that demonstration of your political views. Another point, it don't make no damn sense anyway. What in the heck has the NFL got to do with police shootings in Ferguson, when Ferguson is a majority black town for a long time, and the blacks were satisfied with the way the police were policing hard and tough? They're supposed to. They're protecting their interests.
And you live right.
Do folks use any common sense anymore?
Yeah, so I agree. For the people, like I say, because it comes down to business. You piss off the fan base. You know, the advertisers or the financial backers, they get hurt, and they don't want to get hurt.
Well, you're absolutely right. Look what the LGBTQ done with Salvation Army and telling Chick-fil-A to stop donating to them. What kind of dumb mess is that also? Oh, yeah.
So what's the story behind it? I didn't hear about that. What now? Give me the story behind that.
Well, you know, Salvation Army is sort of like a religious group. And
yeah,
their tenets of religion, they're against same-sex this and same-sex that. Well, that's the people that's a member. That's their business. But no, they're going to tell Chick-fil-A, you got to stop donating to this company. Just like they told companies like Enterprise Leasing, the car rental place, to stop honoring NRA membership cards for discounts when they rent your cars. Yeah, okay.
Right.
You know what I done?
Okay.
All right, so I'm going into Walgreens. And outside stood some black Girl Scouts. I don't care who it was, the color of skin. And they had a chaperone. I said, ma'am, I can't buy you candy. No, your cookies. It might have been candy. Because the money I would have used to buy your cookies would have came from my savings when I used my NRA card, when I rented a Enterprise Leasing car. So they don't want to accept the card anymore because of some political issues. Well, I can't buy your candy.
That's how it works.
That's how it works. And more of it should work that way. I can't support your Buy Black campaign. They need to have a catalog. They got these Buy Black what do you call them? Catalog? No, black pages. They need to have a black pages like that for conservatives.
Now, that's an innovative idea.
Absolutely. That's a moneymaker.
Yes. And I'm going to put it in the entertainment directory, too. I'm sure I'm going to incorporate that. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm going to start charging you for my ideas, Robin.
Let
and I don't want those.
I'm start
and I ain't gonna be bargaining. Hey, wait
start
a minute.
I'm charging you for calling in.
And I ain't gonna be bargaining with sex like Weinstein neither. So no need putting cameras around the house.
That's a good thing because I've got cobwebs. That's all I can trade around here is cobwebs.
Well, I ain't going that far, but I'm just making a point.
Yeah, me too. But we can do that.
No, but
the show.
No, well, L.A., we got to draw the line someplace. The line has to be drawn someplace.
I agree because, like I said, a lot of these guys, you brought up all good examples. If Colin Kaepernick started, he's going to need financial backers. Bill Gates has got financial backers, OPM, all the people's money. So, like you said, the bottom line is once you piss off your fan base, your followers, whatever you want to call them, you're done. Bankruptcy.
That's right. And fan base just not his. It could be the advertiser's fan base of their products. I ain't buying your products no more because your name is showing up along with this person's name. Hell with that stuff. People got to draw the line. And here's another point. What in the heck's the use of educating your child or making reference to lack of education amongst black kids and skill attainments? Well, education and skill attainment means you're going to elevate yourself in the business of making money in the United States. I mean, it's what the United States, like Warren said, is about making money.
Right.
And when you make money, you want to keep it as long as you possibly can. You know how some people, you go in their shop, they got on the wall the first dollar they ever made hanging in a picture frame?
Right.
People want to keep their money. I hear folks talking about the United States need to cut its military budget. I say, fine, and give that money back to the taxpayers. Oh, no, we need a program here. We need a program there. Well, go out and earn your money for your program. Don't deferentially cut military budget and think that extra $200 or so odd billion is going to go to your program. Hell to the no.
You're right. Well, anyway, I thought that was an interesting trending topic.
Well, it's silly. It's ridiculous. I mean, isn't there something like really major or important going on? Like how many more people came up missing on yesterday? How about that?
And another thing about the killing of this Iran general who has been, Barack stopped Israel from killing him back in 2015. And they've been keeping track of him since 2007. He has been responsible for killing a whole lot of Americans, not only innocent citizens of other countries. Now you just had an attack on a military airbase in Kenya by al-Shabaab, who've been receiving weapons through Yemen and by Iran. Killed a black soldier. So I wonder what these Negroes who's speaking against the United States for what it done to take out somebody who's been planning on killing Americans. And what are they going to say now? And then you got fools say, well, I ain't going to let my kids go to the service. Well, what else a terrorist group show up on shores? And they say, look, we don't want to bother nobody. We just want to go see such and such and such and such. The person who say, I ain't going to let my kids go to the military. We just want to see such and such and such and such. Because they say if they don't want their kids to go to the military to protect this country, then why would you stop us from going after them?
Right.
Do people use any common sense, logic?
Some do. Many don't.
Yeah. And one
another,
other thing with
go ahead,
Mr. Anderson, my grandson asked me about him yesterday, I think it was. Yeah, I got this text message. Claude Anderson, about this stuff about black folks need to, and I did have it verbatim, need to work together in this certain way. Black people ain't going to work like that, the entire country. No ethnic group does that in the entire country. You have people that's affiliated with some type of ideologue. Yes, affiliated with some sort of movement or agenda? Yes. But as far as the whole population, you have Iranians that's cheering the fact that this man was killed. You have Iraqis that's cheering the fact that that man was killed. In St. Louis, you had Libyans demonstrating outside the old courthouse where the Dred Scott case was held, was cheering what was going on in Libya. Mm. Flying a red, black, and green flag, by the way. So my contention is do people realize what the world consists of, what people consist of, what consists of in politics, political mindsets of populations? I don't think they do. And I praise Donald Trump. 2 days before the killing of this terrorist, you had Russia, China, and Iran doing naval exercises. And Trump comes in 2 days later and slaps Iran upside the head. We don't give a damn about you demonstrating or participating in exercises with China and Russia. You kill an American, we're going to track you down like a rabid dog, and we're going to kill you. That's the kind of country you want to live in. At least I do.
Well, we're going to switch gears here on another trending topic. Borden becomes the second big U.S. milk producer to file bankruptcy. Long story short, people are not drinking cow's milk like they used to. I know this past holiday season is the first. Because I love eggnog. And, November, December, but this is the first year, or this past year, first time I haven't. So I guess more people are opting to drink cashew milk, rice milk, almond milk. Robin, you drink any alternative?
I don't drink milk, period, and not even alternatives. And this is about time is what I say, because man is the only animal that I'm aware of that continues to drink milk after it's weaned from its mother's milk. And then it doesn't even drink its own mother's milk, right? And so all of us are actually lactose intolerant because we're consuming the enzymes from another species. Uh-huh. And then watch this. They take it, after they take it from the cow, they heat it. They pasteurize it and homogenize it, after which there's no nutrient values in it. And then they add vitamin D and whatever else, and calcium to it, because otherwise it has no nutrient value at all. And it wreaks havoc in the body. We're not meant to consume the enzymes from another species. So we consume that, we have problems with digestion. I mean, all kind of problems stem from eating dairy product. I'm not sorry,
Do you like fried crispy tripe with mustard and pickles?
Nah.
Tripe.
I've
never had tripe.
You do.
No, I don't.
Fried crispy tripe with mustard sandwich and pickles.
No, I don't do tripe. I don't do menudo. I don't do pig feet. I don't do chicken gizzards. I don't do mountain oysters. I don't do
People do use that, especially in Africa. They eat a lot of tripe. Tripe comes from the stomach of the cow.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it, but never had it.
So those enzymes is being picked up there. You know, Dr. Sabe said that, I think it was Dr. Sabe, someone said that arsenic is in almond milk. I don't know. I used to drink milk when I was a kid, but I don't drink it now. If I have an urge for cornflakes or some cereal, a raisin bran or something, I will buy almond milk and with the 80 calorie or maybe higher because it tastes better, that fat. And I might go through 2 or 3 cartons of that eating cornflakes. Then I won't touch it the rest of the year. That's what my body.
Yeah, then your stomach will get bubbly on you. You'll probably have a bout of gas and or diarrhea if you don't
get... Oh, that cleans out your system.
...some sort of gastroenteritis. Mm. Watch.
That cleans out the system when you sit on the toilet and you blow the bottom out the toilet.
That's not cleaning out the system. That's an allergic ill effect. That's not the same thing. No, 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 no. Nice try. Nice try.
But those people in Egypt, their milk is not pasteurized either. I know that from the restaurant. I'm talking about the 5-star restaurants when they serve food, breakfast and so on, their milk is not pasteurized. That's why people
And they probably have their cows right there and the processing time and all that, they can do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, then they drink camel's milk. You know what another concoction that's good? You take some camel's milk in a bowl, then you come around to his back leg and prick his vein in his leg and get some blood. You mix that up. That's a good potion for taking you across the desert. But no, Barton, the dairy business in the United States has been going down for a long time. I remember years ago, myself and another Nigerian traveled up to Iowa State University because they had a nice dairy program, and we toured it because he was interested in raising dairy cows back home. And the person was telling us about how many dairy farms was folding, small operations that were folding weekly. And it was, you know, quite a few. Now, Walmart is starting to get into the dairy farm business. I guess they're going to start sourcing for their products, their milk products that they carry in their stores, which is probably a good idea.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going to happen to Elsie the cow.
Well, you know what? I'm surprised. I mean, I don't know the Borden product line, but Borden probably needs to take up, if they haven't already, start selling all, you know, cashew milk, almond milk. Go with what the public wants. I mean, for the people that want cow's milk.
Well, they may already be doing it. They may already be behind these names that's already done it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, how better yet to compete with your competition if other than being the competition yourself?
No, if I was them, I would go to being a source. I would go to, if I was them, they need to partner and affiliate with bakeries, brands baking. Hostess ain't in existence, but companies that bake products and get contracts with them for that's what they need to do. Yep.
Well, they still serve milk with school lunch programs.
That's all.
But they need to contract with food product manufacturers. Macaroni and cheese, Kraft. Well, here, let us supply the milk products that you need for your cheese ingredients and your macaroni and cheese. And that's just one example. Okay, and then they flip from serving the consumer directly to serving the consumer via blah, blah, blah. And that might be a very viable way for them to stay alive. Millionaire thinking, I don't know. Oh, no.
Yeah, but the only thing, with a company like Borden, when you get that big, it's very bureaucratic. That means policy changes slow. Things just move slow.
Well, they can move slow all they want to, but this is what I say to that. It doesn't take that long for it to fold and go under. There are hundreds of businesses, long-term businesses, going out of business every year now. So
they might go out of business in the United States. You remember S.S. Kresge, the drugstore?
Yeah, dime store?
Yes, I remember Kresge.
They over in Africa now. There's a Crispy store in Ghana.
Okay.
I haven't seen those in a long time.
They just go someplace else. You remember them farmers in Zimbabwe, the white farmers? That was agriculture.
Yeah,
you know where they are? They went to the Congo and Nigeria and hired a bunch of them.
Mugabe, Mugabe did. He died last year, didn't he?
Yeah, Mugabe passed away.
Yeah, so aren't they letting those farmers back in Africa, in Zimbabwe?
Oh, yeah, they brought some back to Zimbabwe, and the people had a big ball celebration.
Yeah.
Boy, I make folks mad, man, when I bring that stuff up. People hate me with a passion.
Yeah, they brought them back. Well, since we're on African land and farming, what do you think will happen with what's going on in South Africa with Julius Malema and the they want to bring him back without compensation?
Well, that's their ability to do that. But the thing is, to take back land and you don't have nothing to do with it, or to keep it producing like it is presently, is a bad thing. Because the people don't give a damn where the food come from that's filling their belly. They want food.
Right.
That's what come out. You know, that's the thing, L.A., you don't learn something overnight. And just like it is when you take bears out of the woods and put them in a zoo and keep them there for years, put them back out in the woods and see come morning that bear ain't trying to get back in that cage.
Oh, yeah. Well, in that cage, what it grew up in is comforting, that don't have to hunt for food. It's brought to them. Okay.
It's the same. It don't matter if they were. It's kind of hard to break something, because like breaking a horse, where he let you ride on his back.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing applies to human beings too.
I agree.
And because when Africans leave the continent and come over into the West and begin working and living, they ain't going back home.
That's
because
true.
They got it here. And I tell you something else. Their kids are not going back. The diaspora is not black Americans. The diaspora is those Africans that's working abroad away from their continental home, land. And when they die, if they have kids, when they die, the diaspora die, because the children are the citizens of where they grew up at, or where they were born at. So African kids in Zambia, in Canada, them Zambians in Canada, they kids is not no Zambians. They don't want to go there.
I got a friend like that. She's a Nigerian parents, born and raised in London, though. And she's been in Nigeria. But she says she's too westernized to go back and live.
No, they're not going to live under them conditions. How many years do you think Africa is. How many years do you think, take a country like Ghana, how many years do you think Ghana is behind the United States?
I'm going to put it at 150 to 100 years.
Well, you more generous than, you more so than I am. I said at least about 40, but you might be. All right, let me ask you another question. How many years is Black Americans on average behind the rest of the country? Let's be honest. Let's have a conversation. How many years do segments of what's called Black America that seems to be in the news all the time and always the subject of so much data, how many years are they behind the run-of-the-mill of America? We can say white folks. We'd be easy to say whites. We won't say Asians. We won't say Nigerian America. How many years?
I'm going to be conservative and say 50, but I know it's more than that. Depending on
and you know, you're pretty accurate, because if you look at the things that it takes to be successful in those ventures, and one is a family structure. And it takes time to put together a family structure where you have the grandparents is a key element of that structure. Grandparents take a long time to develop. You are talking about maybe somebody who's 20 to go out into the workforce or start their career and retire when they're 65. Well, that's 45 years. That's two generations.
Right.
And then this is something that has to, it's not going to all start, all of it that's needed is not going to start on the same day or in the same year. So now you're going to take that 45 years and expand it out further in order to generate enough families to make a difference. If you got 18 to 20 million Black males above 18, I think it is, about 18 million, I think they see it. All right. For them to have families, it all ain't going to happen on the same, all 18 million ain't going to start the same day.
No.
So that means it's going to take decades for the development of the type of families that's needed to support young people that's born, raised, and prepared for professionalship. That takes time. And then here's another thing too, LA. The future that we're looking at is going to be vastly different than the future in the past. And the reason why is because you have technology and artificial intelligence that has antiquated a lot of things that people did in the past, with antiquating things that people are doing today, and they won't be doing that in the future.
That's true.
So it could be that you're talking about a group that's on the verge of extinction.
You know what? Now, since you broke it down that way on the family level, on the family level, and let me go to my Black Township's business model, which is a drop in the bucket. Those towns, most of them are like over 100 years old. But back then, you had a couple that would get together, get married, have 15, maybe 18 kids, and, like you say, build a family. Like, I had an aunt the year before last, aunt that passed at 105. So, man, I'm going to put the bare minimum. I'm going to put it at 100 to 105 years behind based on the family dynamic. And if you don't have – now, that's not everybody, but That's a century. Because a lot of us, you know, and I'm not putting this all on black folk, but in our world today, black, white, whatever, a lot of us don't, when we get into relationships, it's instant relationships. If we can't work out a problem instantaneously, we go on to the next person. We go online and meet somebody else. So a lot of us don't fix things, and then that comes to another thing. A lot of baby boomers, particularly tail-end baby boomers, don't know how to fix anything. So we don't know how to fix relationships. It's plumbing.
Who are they? A practical physicist.
Family is the building block for everything. So we're 100 years behind on that.
That's why I get off when people say that slaves built America. Slaves didn't build no America. That's too much dynamics that you're talking about. One guy told me, well, they drained swamps. I said, well, that wasn't for America. That was for some farmer. They still drain fields today. And how you know it wasn't a black farmer?
All right.
Now,
this is 2020. Booker T. Washington transitioned, passed away in 1915.
He died in 1915.
And you know, in his book, Up from Slavery, he was saying back then we were behind.
Well, he was right.
We're definitely over 100 years behind.
Well, yeah, if we look at the education, and if you want to use a benchmark, which I don't like, you say 1954 Brown versus Board, even though that the integration didn't occur till much, 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 much later, and that actually had went in reverse. But look at the percentage of your population that's in certain professional field. And you know, the one thing that's easy to measure is because blacks have always been around 13%, 11% of the population, no, at any period of time, except in, I guess you can say, pre-census 1850, 1840, maybe 1830. Because it was in some states, blacks may have numbered 20% of the population compared to, and maybe some cases more than that compared to whites at the time. But as time went on and you started coming into the 1900s, you seen where black population as a percentage was around 11, 12, 13%. Now, I may be wrong. Somebody need to check that. So if you're looking at that percentage today, and you're only producing 7% of the engineers, and like we talked about the other day, in the other areas, only 5% here and 6% of the doctors. Now, if you use the people who have attained that money-generating position in the country, where they are no longer included in those that are struggling, I guess you could say. Well, 1954 to now, what is that, 46 years plus 65 years ago. Going on 66 years ago. Well, if you're going to go from 5% to 10%, that's another 66 years. If you're going to go from 10% to, say, 15%, that's another 66 years. So you're out there 180 years.
Right. Well, we would suggestions on for the ones, because I'm not saying it's going to be, I think we're romanticizing when we think we're going to get a whole collective of us to act in unison. So your suggestions on what can a person do?
I suggest, like you talking about tiny houses, perfect the manufacture, the creation of tiny houses. And once you got that perfected, you can take that in places where they need it. Like I'm down there in Louisiana, where they rule to say that the typical house in demand is going to be like a two-bedroom for a single white female. You know, they in that ethnic group, you got a lot of divorces.
Because most of the tiny house people I've run into, particularly in person at tiny house events, have been single white females, hands down.
Another thing, too. People don't have time to do like they did in the past, have pristine lawns, landscaping, flower beds, sprinkler systems. Folks ain't got time for that stuff nowadays. I'm retired, have been for a long time.
You're right. People come home tired, and on top of that, I was talking to somebody, what, it was yesterday. They'd rather grow food than grow grass. You know,
ain't going to grow no food. Like folks talking about having these gardens and stuff. Why would you? Let me ask you something. Robin, you help me here. If you grow food in a garden, you ain't going to grow food based on what you're going to eat per meal. You're going to grow generally more than you need. So what you going to do with the rest of it? Store it? Now it's not fresh.
Store it, sell it, give it away. I mean, you have to utilize it, repurpose it some kind of way.
Otherwise, you don't, it's not fresh. Guess what I can do?
Uh-huh.
I can go to Walmart and buy one head of cabbage and take it home and cook it that day. Ain't got to worry about storing no harvest of cabbage. If I want cabbage the day after, I go back and get another fresh head of cabbage, a fresh tomato, fresh eggs, 88 cents a dozen.
And they bear the cost of the refrigeration. You don't
there
bear the
you
cost
go.
Of storing or the overhead for the electricity for the refrigerator and the and blah, 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 blah.
You're absolutely right.
The
stores are away from home refrigerator. Plus, you don't have to have a refrigerator running that blast at the house running your damn electric bill up or draining your solar batteries.
You know, that explains, you know, like some Latino families, and there are plenty of Latino families that have refrigerators, but a lot of them eat fresh. So they go shopping.
Yeah, especially when they do some of those meals they have, fresh, crispy ingredients. So this stuff people talk about, grow a garden and all that, ain't nobody got time to be doing that stuff. And today, you're always looking for new ideas.
And then also, too, the cities where you're living in, if you're living in a city or town, you're probably not going to be allowed. Okay, if you're living in an apartment, that apartment manager is probably not going to appreciate you digging up their yard for your little garden. You know, there may be ordinances and regulations, you know, against that, and again, it's not always, you know, the feasible thing. So
right, look at the way people work nowadays. They get called. They may have three jobs that they get called. And I was looking at YouTube where this young woman, was going to work to see if they wanted her to work. She was on the subway in New York. It took an hour to get to where she was going. She was going there dressed in uniform, not knowing whether or not they was going to use her or not. And if they didn't, she had to go back home or hang out until time to try the next job. So that's typical. And that's another reason. You have to be trained, come up through school and educated in high demand occupations. And then you need a government that's going to sanction those who come abroad here to work and tell them, just like every other government around the world do, you got to go back home. You got to leave. Thank you for the time that you spent providing your service in an area where we had a shortage. But now we have natives that's ready to take those positions, and we appreciate what you've done. Bye-bye. And that's something the United States haven't been doing, but the United States is going to have to start doing. The United States is going to do.
Right. Well.
And all these people in prison, they ain't going to be able to feed all these folks in prison. What are you going to do with them? Take them out and kill them?
Don't give them any ideas now. Well, it does cost money to feed people.
So what you should do
is get food in prison. A lot of those prisons grow food.
Yeah. Get your small house idea, put it into a kit form. Then you can go around to areas, acquire the land, or get involved in some revitalization and develop you a workforce that can go from point to point to point. And when this one group does what they do, then another group comes in and follow, and the other group come in and follow until you're down to your finished carpenters and painters. But the first group is someplace else preparing things for that to be a continuation
of assemblage. That's what's his name, Bill Levy? That's what he and his brother and father did with Levitt. Levitt Holmes, he was pumping out like 30 to 40 houses a day that way, just like you're talking about.
Right. People come in, put in the flat work, the slab, and the perimeter foundation. Your kit come out. You have your anchor bolt set, your seal plate. Lay those walls out where they're going to be tilted up, braced off. Put in your roof joists. A floor joist for the next floor up, if it's going to be two stories, or if it's just going to be one story. Now you're working with your ceiling support. I would use a slab for me myself. I wouldn't do the A-frame.
Yeah, I don't want to do A-frame either.
Yeah, I'd use a slanted roof and put bird mouths on the end of the rafters, 2x8s, or whatever you're going to use. You have, and I will use metal roof too.
This morning I was out measuring a carport here. As a matter of fact, when I get off this podcast, I got to call one of these places about less than 5 miles away from my front door to get pricing on that stuff, aluminum.
Yeah, metal roof lasts forever. And it's not that difficult. It's a lot easier to put down because you're not nailing down or fastening down the interior other than the edges.
Right. Well, matter of fact, let me call these people. I'm going to end the podcast for today and make this phone call because that's on the top of my agenda.
Okay then, L.A. I hope I was able to contribute.
Thank you, Robin.
Thanks.
And I got to find doggone it. Where's my outro music here? Okay, yeah, get good. Where is it at? Okay, here, let me see. I'm waiting for this thing now. Okay, here we go.
At Jiffy Lube, we care about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts will check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll care for your car like we care for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Crush your morning goals with a steak, egg, and cheese bagel or any breakfast sandwich and snag another one for just a buck with the buy one, get one deal. Only in the McDonald's app. Limited time only at participating McDonald's. Valid once per day. Must opt into rewards.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.